You be seated, please. How's everybody doing this morning? All right. Well, you know, I'm old enough. I know I don't look it, but I'm old enough to remember that it was almost an act of rebellion to come to church and not wear like a full suit. Anyone else old enough to remember that? Now you show up in a sport coat and it's like an act of rebellion. They're like, what are you doing wearing a suit? We don't wear a coat in this church. And it's a good thing you don't have a tie. And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's a special occasion. It's an awesome day in the life of our church and the history of our church. We're super excited to be doing the elder ordination for Todd Burns today. And it's a cool experience because hopefully what you'll see today is a lot of what Pastor Jared's been teaching and helping us think about when we've thought about our vision series, which is, are we intentionally discipling? We've talked about that being a key aspect of our vision. Are we intentionally discipling others? And that's something we want to be a key attribute of this church. And in this elder ordination today, I think you're going to see a beautiful picture of people intentionally discipling Todd throughout his life that God has used to prepare Todd to serve as an elder of this church. When we look at the scriptures, we see kind of how we got to where we are today, that Jesus came and preached his gospel, that the kingdom of God is here in him, and that he offers forgiveness of sins. And that gospel message was proclaimed in community after community. And whenever that gospel was proclaimed, people were called out by God, sinners were called out by God to turn away from their sins and turn away from the world and turn towards Christ and to trust him alone for the forgiveness of their sins. And so then you had this group of people in each community that were called the called out ones. And that's the Greek word ekklesia, that where we get the term church. So the church are those, that's a community of people who've been called out by Christ to himself. And then they begin to try to follow the teachings of Christ. So as Christ's followers, the church are striving to honor God with their lives. And so then the apostles taught them, appoint elders from among yourselves in each of these communities. And as a part of doing that, they would lay hands on them and pray for them. And this was the way of setting them apart and saying, these are the elders that you have chosen to give leadership to this church, to these called out ones, to this community of Christ followers. And the word elder comes from a agrarian society, and it carries this idea of being a shepherd. To be a shepherd, a pastor, it was to shepherd the sheep. And they use that idea as a concept to say that's what an elder does. And there's three kind of main teachings or main responsibilities of an elder: to lead, feed, and protect the church members or the sheep. And so to lead means that their job, our job, the elders that you have set before you, they have a responsibility to lead in a way that is Christ-honoring and biblically faithful. They also have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to feed you the Word of God, to faithfully help you understand what the Word of God teaches, and to encourage you and hold you accountable to obey it, to honor God with your life. And then finally, to protect. And that includes faithful teaching, not letting anyone come in and teach heresy, that if any of our members start to go astray and not believe what the Bible teaches, we have a responsibility to lean in, not to turn an eye, but to lean in and say, come on, this is God's will for your life, to protect both the individual and the flock as a whole from anyone who would want to do it harm. And Hebrews 13:17 says in the scriptures, gives us an idea of the weightiness and the nature of the job. It says in Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who will give an account. And so elders have a tremendous responsibility. It's not a position of power. It's not a position of status or influence. It's not about that. It's about caring for your souls. And your elders take that extremely serious. That is the primary responsibility of your elders. And that's what we spend our time doing, praying, caring, leaning in, calling. And it's a heavy, heavy weight. And thank God his design is that it is a multiplicity of elders, plural, that take that responsibility on. It's not just Jared. It's not just me. It's we have now, we'll be adding 9 total. We have 9 elders carrying that responsibility together. And so the idea is we will give an account. Todd will give an account for how we've cared for your soul. And so we pray that today is a big day of setting Todd apart. Now, in our tradition as a church, it's been a really cool tradition that's developed over the years where we ask the elder candidate, who are some people who have played a significant role in your life, had a significant spiritual influence on your life? And today, Todd, would you come? I'm going to give Todd an opportunity to introduce the 2 men that so come on up, brother. The 2 men that he mentioned, and he's going to introduce them, and then we're going to give them an opportunity to share. And then after that, we'll invite Beth and Todd to have a seat in some chairs, and then Jared will lead us in a time of praying, laying hands on them. So Todd, we're excited to see what God's going to do, and thank you for your willingness to serve in this position, and I'm going to hand it over to you. All
right. First, church, I just want to tell you that I'm grateful, honored, and humbled to serve as your elder. But when Tracy and Jared asked me were there some men that had influenced my life, I went home and I talked to my wife about it. But I got to tell you, they let me pick 2 to speak, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention some of these other men, because as bad as I was, it took a lot of them. So I got a few of them here this morning. Danny Boland, I've known for 50 years. I feel like there's a lot of pollen in here this morning. And the influence he's had on my life, I could stay up here for the next 24 hours and I couldn't get it all in. He's an amazing man. It's full of humility, but has influenced me for the last 50 years. I got Marshall, Mark, Randy, Ross, Brad, Ben, David, Ricky, Greg, Jeff, Ken, Rod Masteller, who's no longer with us, Charles McGee, who's also going to be with the Lord, Ronnie Smith, Conrad, my uncle, and in recent years, Mickey McDonald. So I just want to say thank you to all those men. So these next 2 verses come to mind. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. All these men that I just reeled off to you, I know without a doubt I wouldn't be standing up here without the influence they had on my life. And then finally, Gary Lash and Ransom Ashley, another scripture that I thought about is 1 Corinthians 11:1, and it says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. These men set example for me throughout my adult life, in business, in their families, and all of that. So I'm grateful to all these that I've mentioned. And so I need to get out of the way, and I'm going to let Gary Lash, take over from here. Thank y'all.
Morning, church. My name's Gary Lash, like you said, and I've known Todd for a while, but I came across something I wanted to share with you. I've known him long enough that I need to use these. If you were Simon, there's some dust in here. If you were Simon and Jesus were to visit your synagogue one fine Sabbath morning to preach, the category you would likely put him in is that of a rabbi or a teacher. The title rabbi means teacher or leader. They were spiritual masters of Israel. Not only were they expert teachers of Scripture, they were magnetic examples of life with God. Those special few who shine with an inner luminescence. Every rabbi had his yoke. It was a Hebrew term for his set of teaching. His way of reading Scripture, his take on how to thrive as a human being in God's good world, and how you could taste a little of what they tasted. Rabbis came from a broad section of society. They could have been physical therapists, barbers, insurance salesmen, country club managers, pharmaceutical reps, material handling experts, or trucking and freight hauling experts or dentists. Most trained under another teacher for a season like Charles McGee, then began to lead their own group around the age of 30. There was no formal certification like in our modern educational system. Authority worked differently. Your life and teaching were your credentials. As Todd mentioned, I've known Todd for over 35 years. I've known his wife a little longer. She was a pool bunny at an Elks club that I worked at when she was young. When Todd asked me to do this, I thought, you know, I'm not worthy to speak to someone about someone like this. And I thought, that'll give me an opportunity, though, to speak about one of God's special people and family. I've been in this Monday night group that's been meeting for probably over 35 years, but I'm one of the newer members. I've only been in it about 30 years. And uniquely, when I tell people that, when it's a men's Bible study group, they go, oh, y'all watching Monday Night Football, or you, in that time I've been in, I think I remember watching two ball games maybe the whole time, because it's a very serious group. We refer to it as a band of brothers, in that if somebody needs something spiritual, physical, emotional, they're there at a drop of a hat, which it should be, is supporting each other as Christian brothers. Todd is certainly a man after God's own heart. The example of a teacher that I've just referred to from Practicing the Way by John Cromer reminded me of Todd. So it was very strong when I began to read that book that his name would come up. His life and teachings are his credentials in his family, in church, in business, and in community. When Beth and Todd began to have grandchildren, they decided, what name would we call Todd? He is chief now to his family and friends, which chief means a leader of a clan. That's certainly a clan that they're developing, and BB is the rock of that clan. Todd is truly a servant leader in all of these roles that I've mentioned. Because of the way that Todd treats people that he knows, most of them think that they are his best friend. But Mickey, of course, you know I'm his best friend, right? Todd learned and was taught at an early age of how to treat people by a loving grandmother. And that grandmother, when they would part ways during the day, grew up in Webster Parish, would tell him, be particular. Now, if you're from the woods in Webster Parish, you know what that means. A few words mean a lot of things in some country town sometimes, to be particular. So I get that. Growing up in the same close woods proximity as Todd. And Todd will often repeat that to me and to others that he says. And if he says that to you, call me and I'll tell you what that means. But to be particular. But Todd certainly meets the qualifications of an elder listed in Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. I'm excited to be able to tell you how great a guy that he is, and his family, all of them. And on his journey, the only advice that I would give, somebody said, what kind of advice are you going to give Todd? Is Todd, just be particular. Thank you.
Let me pray right quick. Dear Heavenly Father, let me stay out of the way. Not let my words be heard, but your heart revealed today. Lord, if it's for the one or the 99, it matters not. But I just pray that your perfect will would come forth in this place today, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you for who you are for each of us. I thank you for this place and each person. I thank you for Todd. I thank you for the opportunity to share a story that that has changed my life radically. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It's been a morning, hasn't it? It's an amazing day, no doubt. It's an absolute joy and honor to be with all you today. We're here to celebrate something incredible, the ordaining of Todd Burns as an elder in this amazing house of God. As spoken before, there's not enough time to say all the things I want to say, so I'm going to jump right in. A few months ago, Todd calls me up, and he invites me to speak today. And he says, you can say no if you want to. And then he calls me this week, and he said, you ready to bail? what he didn't know is how elated I am to share about how he has impacted my life. I'm going to flip the script, y'all. He impacted my life as much as any man I have ever met. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's Todd right there. I remember early on, Todd joined me in a room full of lawyers and bankers. I was intimidated, and he navigated it not with fear, but with faith and belief. We did a commercial property deal on a handshake. Who does this, they asked. Two men of God with a foundation built on Jesus. Todd had them all excited that day. He knew about a different math than they did. Y'all know about that math around here. It's called fishes and loaves. The battle playing out. The passionate spirit of a man of deep faith versus red tape, rules, and paperwork. This event laid the groundwork of a relationship built on integrity and trust. My life was radically changed that very day. And as I said before, there are more stories regarding things like this than there is time to tell them. But I'm most excited today because I get to talk about a man who is alive. He's sitting right there instead of laying over here. You see, most of my public speaking is at funerals. No disrespect. But this has shaped my thoughts and made me believe that we need to encourage and say the good things right now while people are alive instead of about our family members after they're gone. Encouraging is a kingdom principle. Let me introduce myself. My name is Ransom Ashley. I co-own a local automotive repair company. What I do, I fix cars, Asian and American. I stay in my lane. But somebody in this room stretches me a lot. That somebody is Todd. Can you relate, Danny Bolin? Todd has challenged me in ways, and they made me better than I really am. And I'm not talking about just fixing his European car problems. I'm talking about life lessons, words I carry with me during hard times. I hear his very voice saying, anything you can do once, you can do again. And I believe there are many people that know exactly what I'm talking about around here. I serve at River Park Church. My role is twofold. I get to lead our prayer team and our men's ministry, the Guardians. Got one sitting here with me today. Thank you, Edgar. When ministries collide by the power of the Holy Spirit, beautiful things happen. And I believe this type of unity pleases our Savior. Our men's ministry at River Park is forever changed. Todd Burns, and Gary Lash touched on it. Todd Burns is a part of a group of godly men that have been meeting at his house for a fellowship and Bible study on Mondays for over 30 years. And he mentioned probably every one of them's names a while ago. It's an amazing group of men. Well, this group of men, they helped fund our men's ministry. They made our God-given vision manifest and come alive. What we do is we share the gospel message played out live in the middle of the woods by firelight, reaching into homes through fathers and changing families for generations. It would not be possible without the wisdom and generosity of Todd's group of men. We have also already, we served thousands of meals this year, probably about 5,000, and we'll serve thousands more. We've had the privilege of reaching into the community and partnering with FCA, Every Warrior Network, Camp Fuego, Men of Courage, and others. These men in this group, they put feet to our visions and dreams. The men that I served with still can't believe what we are now doing and get to do. We can now answer the call when it comes. As I look back through my life, I am thankful I wasn't overlooked and missed by this warrior of a man. A lesson here for us all. Who's fallen between the cracks in our lives? It reminds me of Mark 8:22. The blind man said, "I see men as trees walking." Sometimes we just need a little bit more time with Jesus to see others as he sees them. Not as shadows, not as trees walking, but as souls worth seeing. And this is important because in this world there are some harsh realities. Sometimes life gets hard and barren, and it feels like God has disappeared. And we see this as a desert experience. We've all been there, every one of us, at one time or another. And we see it as a bad thing. But the Bible says the desert is where God lives and speaks. And throughout the Bible, we see that the desert is where he spoke to Abraham and Moses, the Israelites, and Isaiah, and even Jesus. In fact, the Hebrew word for desert is Midbar, which also means the place of the word. And Midbar shares the same root word as Debir, which means the Holy of Holies. So what that means is when we're in the desert or wilderness, we're actually closer to God than ever. Because in the desert, we realize that we need to rely on him for survival. We've all seen trees drop their leaves and go dormant during the winter. But in the desert of Israel, there are trees that can survive decades of intense heat and drought. On the surface, these trees, they look dry and they look lifeless, but they have a deep root system that sustains them during the hardest of times. And even during times of extreme and persistent drought, these trees are still able to provide shade for people, wood for fire, and in some cases, even fruit for food. God himself has specifically designed these trees to survive during the most difficult of times. And this is the image the prophet Jeremiah used when he wrote, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. That's Jeremiah 17:8 right there. I have been in Todd's discipleship class that meets in the public and business world for over 30 years, and here's what I've learned. The most powerful words we encounter in life, they're not spoken, they're lived. And Todd's life says, "Follow me as I follow Jesus." No words needed. I have experienced the power of belief. When we don't just say we believe, but live like we do, it changes everything. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Our calling is to believe in him, but also believe and encourage each other. John 13:35 says this. It says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Todd Burns took these traits and applied them towards me. They changed my life and my family's life as well. It played out in my professional relationship, but even more so privately, as it added fuel to the fire that burned deep within my soul. He'll never know how many storms I rode through because of his belief in me. As we celebrate the ordaining of Todd Burns today, we're not just honoring a man. We're affirming a legacy of faith, obedience, and belief in others. My life was changed because someone believed in me. And I know this, I don't think I'm alone. So my challenge to us all is this. Let's be that for someone else. Let's see the people that God places in our path and speak life into them. And my prayer is, may this church continue to grow, to serve and shine as a city on a hill, drawing people to Jesus through love, unity, and bold faith. And may God bless you all, and thank you for allowing me to share today. I didn't mean to get so deep and serious, y'all, but this is a moment that these are words that need to be said. This changed my life, affected me for a lifetime. So let's go out. Let's live like trees planted by the river, deep-rooted, unshaken, always bearing fruit.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Ransom, for that word of encouragement and for the testimony of the life. I want to read just out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 of the qualifications of an overseer. It says, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." As we read that qualification and as we put names out to you, the church, and ask, then Todd's name came back as fitting that. We met with Todd and we met with Beth and walked through a questionnaire of qualifications and those things. And so it is an exciting day for our church to affirm and to say, yes, we will follow, we will submit to the leadership and to the wisdom and to the oversight of Todd as an elder. And so I want to ask Todd and Beth to come here, and we're going to have two chairs here, and we're just going to have a time of prayer over them. If I could give you some things to maybe guide your prayer, one, just look through 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. That is an incredible way of guiding your prayer, but also just to pray through, as Tracy shared, of leading, feeding, and protecting, that these aspects of thinking about the job that Todd is embarking on as a shepherd of the sheep, which is the Lord's people, the Lord's flock. And so to be an under-shepherd of that and to carry that weight of shepherding the sheep that the Lord has entrusted to this church. And so we are excited of that. What I would ask is, if you are an ordained minister, I would invite you, or if you're a community group leader or co-leader, I would invite you that if you want to come by and pray over Todd and Beth, then you can come by, and I would ask you to be fairly brief because there are many people here, but then to come by and voice a prayer over them, and then I will conclude our time of prayer at the end.